Okay, we have been in the sugya of Derech Eretz, going back to basics, and all of us could use help in the basics. It's like in a building, a building, if you have the foundations very strong, they hold up the building. If a person just goes to start building higher floors without dealing with the basic foundations, then there's a lack of stability. And Derech Eretz Kadma L'Taira. Derech Eretz is before the Torah. And even when the world had no Torah, 26 generations without Torah, we had something called Derech Eretz. And sometimes a word in English helps. You know, we used the Yiddish word being a mensch, but there's also another word called being considerate or being inconsiderate. That's a good definition for what we call Derech Eretz. There are people who are considerate. What does the word considerate mean? It means that in any given situation, when a person is alone with himself, he thinks, or with people, he's considerate, he's thinking about the group. He's walking with the group. The group is on his mind. And someone who's inconsiderate doesn't have Derech Eretz. He does something, or she does something, and they don't see what it's going to do to other people, how it's going to affect the group. They're inconsiderate. And a person can't even dream about having a successful bias nemen b'Yisrael, having proper shalom bias, if they don't get this sugya straight. The sugya of marriage is so much based on high octane, you know, not beginners, not intermediate, but advanced derech eretz of being considerate of another person. And if a person can't get through beginner or intermediate derech eretz of thinking of the other person, then they're going to be very far behind, right? They'll learn the hard way, sink or swim. We all get, Baruch Hashem, we all get married. We should also be zocha to build batim ne'amanim b'Yisrael. But at the end of the day, it's better to be prepared. And that's the sugya of derech eretz. And Rav Simcha Zissel, the Alter of Kelm, says something astonishing. We quoted part of it last time. He says something else. He says that in his Medina, people were not really following all the laws properly. The laws of, you know, sales tax and the laws, various laws of purchasing things. And he said it shows up in other areas. When you cut corners in laws that have to do with the people, meaning, what's the purpose for a lot of these laws? They're for the people. You know, why do we stop at a red light? For everybody, right? It's a decision to run a red. Again, everyone has a rough day where they're in, you know, it's always like a suffix. As in this country, you get a warning. It turns yellow before, so you know to speed up. Like, you know, you're really supposed to slow down, but everybody speeds up, right? That's the way it is. But these laws were instituted for the people. And therefore, says the Alter, something incredible. He says, if you follow the laws because you don't want to get burnt in business, you don't want it to happen to you that someone breaks a rule on your cheshbon, right? You don't want to own a company and have that everybody all of a sudden uses your return policy, right? Like we talked about, uses your 48 our return policy to take all of your schaira and basically put it in the dumps. You'll have all of your stuff, all of your vacuum cleaners ruined, right? So he says, even if that's your only motivation for being erlich, your only motivation is you don't want to get burnt, he says you're going to become someone who's sensitive to other people. How? What, I'm only worried about myself? He says, no. When someone is part of a society and they're thinking about what happens, if someone does that to me, that would be terrible. He says, that's still called thinking about other people. Because you're thinking about, what, if I do this, it'll burn someone and then they'll burn me back. You're already not in your own little bubble. You're already thinking about people. And he says, from there you can go to all the sugyas in the Torah of caring about other people, of being connected to other people. But if someone doesn't even think about things that have to do with the tzibur, someone's inconsiderate. He's not menschlich. He doesn't realize that he's part of a society, part of a world. then it's a problem. And there's so many areas to work on this, and there are no answers. It's not like one person's inconsiderate. There are a lot of groups. Like, let's take the laundry. And it's not just laundry in this yeshiva, it's in any yeshiva, or in any apartment building for that matter. There's so many chalakim to laundry, right? Sometimes a person goes in there, right, and all of a sudden he says, "Hey, my stuff's on the floor! What a non-menschlich guy did that to me," right? They say, "Buddy, listen, your laundry has been sitting there for 3 hours in the machine. Okay, this guy's a Malach Hashem that he didn't blow up after 2 hours. He's been checking on this stuff. It's been sitting there, right? And where in the world are the baskets, right? What happened to the baskets over here?" So there's one guy who leaves it in the machine too long, right? There's one guy who throws it on the floor. There's one guy who doesn't bring it to a basket. His basket's back. What happens over here? It's a chaos. When people are not mindful of the others, even if someone would say, "I'm not going to put it on the floor, so I'm not going to, I would never want a guy to do that to me." It's a self-centered thought. The altar says it's not self-centered because you're already thinking about the domino effect. It's not just like, ooh, 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 like an ape, like laundry out, ooh, my laundry in, ooh, right? Like a behemoth. No, thinking about it like, oh my gosh. Put it on the floor. Can't do that to a yid. Can't do it. But what do I do with this yid? Right? Where is this guy? Right? He leaves his laundry in there. Right? I want to work on this. We can make a system to work on these things. But you see, it's not so simple. And each person thinks the other one's not a Baal Derech Eretz. Right? You go and you go to the charging station. You're all excited. You put your thing in a charger. All of a sudden you come back and it's out. Hey, what happened over here? Right? Well, it's been in there all day. Like, when were you planning on taking it out? Or no, what's the other guy? Just like, he needs his e-cig, so he just takes out your phone. Like, hello? Think about a person. It's so easy not to think. It's no one's bad. Nobody is bad. People just don't think. That's why I actually love these past shmuzin. And I'll tell you why. Certain shmuzin, you have to work on the thing that we're doing very hard. These shmuzin really are what we call awareness. All we're doing is calling it out and we're killing the chill. No one's going to be able to take out somebody's phone for an e-cig again because we called it out, right? He's like, wait, but if he's at 90%, I mean, he's at 90%, right? But if he's at 20%, come on, he probably just put it in there, right? A certain schus. But all you have to do is call these things out. Call these things out, and it's different. You know, living in a country, my chavrus is an Eretz Yisrael dicker. You know, he was brought up in this country. They don't waste water. It's an amazing thing. They don't waste water. Like, you know, he's like mafsik. He does the soap part, and then, like, he turns off the water during the soap. I'm like, there's such a chop. Like, I would never think to do that. But, like, he thinks about the shortage of water in this country. It's a very interesting thing, right? Now, a person who does that is actually thinking about the entire country when they're taking a shower. I'm not saying that's a high madriga for me, and I'm not big, I don't want to say it on, I don't want to get in trouble with the government. I'm not the biggest recycler either. But people who do these things, they're connecting with a greater good, and al tihi kal be'enecha, it shouldn't be light in your eyes. A person who showers with the entire country in mind, right? In my house, I love everybody in the house, but in this country, hot water is a commodity. You get the hot water from the Dude Shemesh. It's solar water, right? And like a person decides to take a very long shower, singing la la la, right, having a party in there. Everybody else is going to suffer that night, right? And it's very hard to train kids in this area because when they're in the shower, it just feels like, right? You can sing, you can think about deep things, right? You can get away from your kid's sister in there, right? It's kedai to spend a long time in there. But there's a cheshbon. There's a cheshbon. And it's an unbelievable thing to start to train yourself to think about somebody else. Somebody else. That's what we call basic derech eretz, okay? We've been working on this for 2.3 weeks, right? Two shmuzin and 0.3 of this shmuz. That's called 2.3 weeks, Okay? Now we're going to a new level, okay? And I'm so excited. Because we're going to another place that we really were waiting to get to. Because we're much better than all these lower sugyas. It's time to graduate. We are now going to the higher sugya of being a mensch. We talked about two definitions of Adam. There's the man, who's basically a human being. He's called a Homo sapien, I think. That's one of his fancy names, right? He's a person who's not an ape. And that's one level of Derech Eretz that exists before the Torah. However, the Adam of Klal Yisrael, Atem Kruyim Adam, you're called the Mensch, is a different Mensch entirely. And we haven't even gotten to that sugya. Chaim, we're about to hit it right now. The real man. The man. Right? You love the song of Bar Yochai. No? Bar Yochai. Right? Nase Adam Nemer Bavurecha. When Hashem said, make man, he had you in mind. I love that. That's my favorite line of Bar Yochai. When Hashem said, make man, he had Rav Shimon in mind. When Hashem said to be a mensch, he had Klal Yisrael in mind. So we're going to now go through this sugya, and it's almost a mafurish, not really mafurish, because it's a big machlokas. We've shown him over here, I don't understand this. Two levels in Derech Eretz. In a Mishnah, in the third parak of Avis, listen to this cryptic, puzzling lashon of Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Im ein Torah, ein Derech Eretz. Whoa, that's against my past two shmuzin. I should sit down and retire. It says, if there's no Torah, there's no Derech Eretz. Stark, what are you doing? You spent 2 weeks trying to prove that without Torah, everybody needs Derech Eretz. And now all of a sudden, there's a Mefurish and Mishnah against you. It says, if there's no Torah, there's no Derech Eretz. Not so fast. Because the next line of the Mishnah supports me. Says the next line of the Mishnah, Im ein derech eretz, ein Torah. If there's no derech eretz, there's no Torah. That's perfect. That's exactly what we've been talking about for the past 2 weeks. Says Rabbeinu Yoina, this Mishnah is talking about two levels of being a mensch. There's one level, the low level that we've been talking about, which is being a human, being considerate, being part of society. Understanding that the world wasn't just created for you. That, says Rabbeinu Yonah, you need before you start engaging in Torah. Or you better work on it quickly. Because Torah can't go into somebody who's not human. So, im ein derech eretz, ein Torah. But then, says Rabbeinu Yonah, there's a new level of being considerate. Not considerate, I would use the word thoughtful. Considerate just means not to kill people by accident, right? Now, being thoughtful, being mindful, being good being actively good. That's imein Torah, ein derech eretz. Torah has a new chiyuv on us. It has a new aspiration of being really big, really sensitive to people. Not just not being a jerk, but being sensitive to people. Being someone who's really aware, thoughtful, mindful, caring, sensitive. That the Torah brings you to. And the Medrash Shmuel says in Avos, he says, when we look at what the Torah requires of us in the area of Derech Eretz, it's so much more than the world would ever require of themselves. And this is what I want to talk about over here. This new level of Derech Eretz. The new level of Derech Eretz. So let's do it. Let's do it. What is the high level of Derech Eretz, my friends? It's a pasuk in the Torah. It's also been probably the most sung song in various ways. There's a pasuk, and whenever something's sung as a song, people turn their brain off and they don't think about how deep it is, which is sad, right? V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, right? Everybody knows that one. Zeklal gadol b'Torah, right? You have every version in the book. But what does this mean? Vahafta l'reacha kamocha. It means like this. Let's try to explain. There's an idea called being considerate, which is not to step on people and make people's life bad and just not think about people. But if you think about them, so then you're good. You're good. you have derech eretz like a human being. Let's say, I'll give you an example. Let's say you're walking in the hall and you see a hat that fell on the floor, right? So now every good, decent person, right? I assume every guy in this generation, maybe a guy from earlier on. Baruch Ber says there's Yerida Sederis by Goyim too. Goyim also used to have Midas. I don't know what it is today. I haven't been around them, Baruch Hashem, so much. But you see a hat on the floor. There's no Halige Yid with basic Derech Eretz that doesn't put it back up on the rack. However, there's a way that people put it up. They could stuff it in there in a way that as long as for the next 3 seconds that they pass by, it won't fall down and they won't feel guilty. Right? It's like in there enough balanced that I can walk away feeling like a human being because I picked something up. It's like, right? Or, wow, watch this level. There's a hat on the floor. What would I do if my own hat was on the floor? Take the hat, pick it up, find a decent position that it will be safe, and you go on your merry way. Wow! That's v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. Not to be decent, but to treat somebody's thing like your own. L'olam ye chaviv mamonai shel chaveiro kishelcha. Why did Chazal say it that way? It says in an office that the money of your friend should be chaviv to you like yours. Because it's not telling you to be a nice guy. It's telling you that when you're a yid, you should actually see something of your friends and feel like, what would I want someone to do for my thing right now? Not, what can I potter myself out of right now so I don't feel guilty about the fact that his laundry is where it is? What would I want someone to do with my laundry? Now, a lot of times it's not realistic because you have no clue where to find this guy because he left the stuff in there from the morning. But conceptually, it's a totally different way of looking at it. It's like, I have stuff to do. This guy's in my way. I'm a nice guy. I'm going to do whatever it takes to be normal, but continue my laundry. No, this is a person who has laundry too. How are you going to deal with this? Because you know, somebody might do this to you the next day. What would be the exact way you would want them to handle it? That is v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. And the Rambam says this, my friends. The Rambam, in Hilchos Deos Perek Vav, we can't just make up our pshatim. We have to look in the Rambam, as always. The Rambam says, mitzvah kol adam le'ahov is kol echad ve'echad mi'Yisrael. You have to love klal Yisrael kigufo. Shnemar v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. Lefichak tzarek l'shabcho. You have to compliment people. Whoa, that's hard. We've talked about that in the past. V'lachus al mamono. And be careful with his money. Kimo shuchas al mamon atzmo. Like he cares about his own money. So we read this, it flies right by us. We're like, yeah, I can do that. You know, no, that's really unique. You see something, a situation, and you handle it for someone else the way you would want to. You're guest in someone's house. You rented a place. Guess what? One day you're going to be someone who rents out something. I rent places out. And you see the character. I have an apartment that I rent out. You see the character of the people who rent based on how they leave a place that they rented. It's unbelievable. Now I have experience as being someone who rents apartments. I can tell you, such fine people. People who mop. They don't even have things they never... Making sure the garbage... And then there's like people like gum is stuck to the couch. Banana peels like... Why would you leave a house with a banana peel on the floor? Like, okay. And then there's the regular Derech Eretz people who just do what's officially normal. But then there's Klal Yisrael. You come down there like, wow. Wow. Yeah, you know why? Because I rent out a house. I remember, or my parents rent out a house. I remember that they come back and it's like, you can't, of course you need to hire a cleaner. It's part of the service. But leave it the way somebody would want their own home left. V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. It's a much higher calling. And it's so different living like this, my friends. I'll tell you, only Torah can get you there. Only someone who learns Torah. Im ein Torah ein derech eretz. Rav Shmuel Birnbaum. Rav Shmuel Birnbaum, the Rosh Yeshiva of Mir, Zatzal. Rushmul was a masmid otzum. If you would open him up, Rashbas would come out. That's what Reb Chaim's would come out, Reb Kinegar's. That was Reb Shmuel Birnbaum. I was zeicha to spend some time with Reb Shmuel Birnbaum. It was unbelievable. It's not for now, but it was an incredible night. Through the night. Stayed up all night. It was unbelievable. But Reb Shmuel, right before he was nifter, he was in a hospital bed. He asked him what he wants to do. Listen to a story about the difference between Klal Yisrael and everyone else. Listen to what could happen to a human being, how he could be elevated by Torah, by a Rashba, by a Ritva, by a Reb Chaim, by a Reb Kinegar, by a Mesil Shisharim, by a Chovas Halvavas, by a Rabbeinu Yonah and Pirkei Avos. Listen to this! What did he ask? Who knows how long he's going to have in this world? He asked to take a shower. Take a shower? He was sitting in a hospital bed. He wasn't taking a shower for a while. All of a sudden, take a shower at this time. You know, maybe he wanted to, you know, chazer baba kama with a chavrusa, somebody to help him out. He wanted to take a shower. Why? He said, you know, I've been in this bed for a long time and I haven't taken a shower. And I'm concerned that the Chevra Kedisha should have to deal with such a dirty, a soiled body. I want to take a shower before I'm nifter. I recommend you taking this story and walking for about 5 hours and trying to contemplate how it could be that the Torah Act creates such a thing. This is a raya, the Torah is from Shemayim. You don't need to go to Eshet Torah and Bible codes and all this. You just need to hear this story and walk around and try to be toyfes the omek of this, right? We're not talking about hygiene, which, by the way, hygiene is also part of Derech Eretz. A person is not allowed to smell, right? It's not allowed to smell. He's not allowed to have smelly socks under his bed because it affects other people, right? That's basic Derech Eretz. But then we graduate to Reb Shmuel Birnbaum, my friends, and we think about this. Mi ka'amcha Yisrael! And all of us have a shaychus to this on our level. We're not in the baby sugya, right, of having maids cancel, you know, go on strike because of the way we left the hotel room, right, with shells all over the shells of sunflower seeds, garanim all over the floor. That's not our sugya, right? Our sugya is the sugya of Torah. Torah creates a different madrega of derech eretz. I heard from a gavra rabba when I was single, I believe. It made such an impression on me. A gavra rabba said that my wife, and he was already married many years. You know, it's easy for somebody who's married in Shana Rishona to tell you stories about himself because he only has like a couple months. I was like, you know, for the past 3 months, all right, buddy, you got a few more years to go, right? He's all excited, testing out all the shalom bias workbooks, and you know. This rav, who was married for decades and decades with married children, he said that I never let my wife pick up my smelly socks, my undershirts, any of that stuff. I never let her do that. It made a big impression on me. What? Everybody else does let that? You know, if I would watch, any married man, if they would watch their wife picking something up that's smelly and disgusting, it would bother them. So why was it such a great story that he never let that? You know why? Because when his wife wasn't there, he realized, if I leave my socks on the floor, alumnus, somebody else is going to have to pick them up. It's like an itis. This is like the greatest thing. You need like to be the Rugachever going to figure this out. When I leave something on the floor and it magically disappears, somebody else picked up my stuff. Somebody else did this for me. That's the madrega over here that we create, is where a person's carrying other people in whatever they do. It's an amazing madrega to see and to tap into on any level. And you just have to call it out in yourself and you get there. Now we're going to even more, we're graduating, we're going higher and higher. Tonight, we're mamash shooting for all of us. They're gonna write art school books on every one of us, right? For you, Zicher, me, no, but I'm a clown. But you guys, for sure. Real, real sensitivity. I want to go into another aspect of this, of Derech Eretz, and that's being able to see things from another person's perspective. Listen to a Gemara. This is a well-known Gemara, but we have a nice twist on understanding the depth of this Gemara. The Gemara in Ksubis, in Perek Sheni, says, Tanu Rabbanan, Ketzad Meraktin Lefnei Akala. How do you dance in front of a Kala? Right? Shamay Omer, Kala Kamoshi. You compliment her the way she is. Hillel Omer, Kala Nava Chasuda. You compliment the Kala. Right? That's where the song comes from. Ketzad Meraktin Lefnei Akala, Kala Nava Chasuda. A beautiful Kala. Frek the Gemara, that while you're dancing, you're doing this. Right? Obviously, this is done b'taklis etznias, and I'm worried somebody's going to come out of their shmooze going over to a kala. That's not what happens. You know, you have a way of giving over this during the dancing and to the chassan of what a mecca, what a wonderful girl he got. So the Gemara asks, Beishamei asked Beizil, Harisha Haisachi Geres Osuma. Let's say she's lame or blind. You're going to say on her kala nava chasuda. The Torah says, Midvar Shecher Tirkach. You can't lie. So then, Beis Hillel said, what do you mean? Somebody who buys something in the shuk, something, Mekach Ra min ha-shuk, Yishabchena b'enav o yiganena b'enav. Should you praise it? He buys something. It's non-refundable. Everyone's first rhythm is, refundable. No, it's non-refundable. Okay? A guy bought something in the shuk. He's not returning it. There's no 48-hour return policy over here. He bought something because he liked it. Right? Now, what should you do? He bought this thing. Yishabchena b'enav. Yeah, for sure you should be Yishabchena b'enav. You should praise the thing because he bought it. Mikan omru chachamim. From here the chacham say, lo'olam te daito shaladamu revesim abriyas. You should be part of the people. Can you explain this Gemara to me? Rashi's not helping me over here. Gemara says, Beis Shammai says, a woman is a suma, she's blind, or she's lame, she's not beautiful and she's not unbelievable like that, right? And Beis Hillel says, no. What if somebody buys something in the shuk, and it's not the greatest thing, but they bought it already. So what should you say to them? Shouldn't you say it's good? And then the Gemara says, make sure to be part of the people. What's going on? Based on the Marsha, listen to Pshat over here. We're always so off in the way we deal with people. We don't see where they're coming from. This man picked this Kala. Obviously, she spoke to him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gone through this. This man went to the store and bought this thing. I remember once I bought something. It was a toy that had a better advertising campaign. A better advertising campaign than the better product. And I fell for it. And I remember for months, I was stuck with this product because they were better at advertising. They made it seem so much cooler, but it wasn't good, right? But I bought it and it was non-refundable. What does a person need then if they're gonna be stuck with this video game, right? For 3 or 4 months until they convince their parents to get them another one, right? Dacha shalayim. They need someone to say all the milas this has over Sega Genesis. That was the other one at the time, right? Right? Only one person in the crowd knows what I'm talking about. But they need chizuk. Why? Because that's where they are right now. They thought this was good. They made a decision. Go into their world and give them what they need. It's not sheker. This man married this woman because she's the only one for him. And now, you better enter the world of him. Don't be a fool. Be ma'urav im abrius. See things from other people's perspective. A lot of people listen because this... Many people are not going to understand what I'm talking about because this is something that could fly by us. But I'm telling you, most bad midos does not come from mean people. It comes from people who don't see what's happening by the other person. They don't see what the other person's going through. They don't see what they need to hear. And they just think, MS, it's the truth. And they say the dumbest things. They break people. And instead, a person could see what's happening by the other person. Living so much with the other person that he can be able to touch his world. That's the goal. Rav Shlomo Valba, one of the great Talmidim of Rav Shlomo Valba, who was zocheh to be his chavrusa and one of his mamish, like a yad yamin, mamish, very close Talmud. What impressed him so much about Rav Valba? This maisa. Listen to this maisa. He had a child who liked to play soccer. He liked to play soccer, right? So, in Israeli society, it's very sticky, and there are different types of people who are playing, and it's not always the best environment, but this kid was a diehard. He wants to play soccer. okay, kids, chinuch, it's a sugya. You can't just like say no to your kids and you have to figure this out. He went to Rav Volba. Rav Volba had no childhood, he said, this Rav. He was somebody who was like learning Tanakh and like, well, he was like as big intellectual as a little kid. He wasn't on playing ball. He wasn't involved in any types of games, nothing. He comes to the Mashgiach and he says, Mashgiach, this is the situation, my son. He needs to play soccer. Can I give him a half hour a day? Right? Rav Volba looks at him. He says, a half hour? The game doesn't even start in a half hour. You? Like, where did you get that from? Like, how did you see the world that way? The answer is, yeah, that's what you do. You go into someone else's world. When a person is so inconsiderate and so like my way or the highway, and it's all about my laundry, my hat, right, my chill at a hotel, and the whole place gets wrecked, they'll never be able to get to this beauty of entering the world of someone else. But when someone has Torah, a person can go and just enter so easily, so not about them. Rav Rosenbaum from our yeshiva, my friend. Rav Rosenbaum, such a tachshit here in the middle of the Beis Medrash. Everyone has to chaperai. I was amazed. My son's bar mitzvah, all of a sudden, a few days before the bar mitzvah, he gives me a gift certificate. He says he's always makbid to give a present before the bar mitzvah because he knows how much it excites kids. When the bar mitzvah is going, it's just very overwhelming. But to make hachanas and start getting gifts, he wants to be that guy. Can you imagine? There are people like this. Bekoshi, just to remember to bring a gift, ever, right? Like, and not, you know, but people who are walking around making sure that they're the ones who could give a kid a feeling of, my bar mitzvah's coming this week? Mikamcha Yisrael! In our Beis Medrash. How does that happen? Through Torah. Through Torah. It's a different level. And there's a big limit schus a lot of times, because a lot of times we haven't experienced things in life, and we therefore don't even know what someone's going through. You know, you need to sometimes have experienced something to know what someone's going through. So sometimes people say dumb things because they don't know what it is. I'll give you an example. Like one time I was speaking to Rav Gedalia Zlotowitz from Art School. We're having a conversation about a certain sefer, and all of a sudden I mentioned that I put out a sefer in Lashon HaKodesh. This was back two years ago. So he says, ah! So you understand what's going on here, how hard it is to put out a sefer. He was so excited to have someone on the line. People just think this like a machine. I can tell you, to put out a sefer is ayin v'noira, and it's pachad p'chadim, how many things can go wrong, and how many people need to be involved, and how much agmas nefesh can happen afterwards, and how much can go wrong at every step of the way. And the sensitivity, you know what I compare it to? You know what I compare it to? Having a child. Except, instead of just seeing what Hashem gives you, you get to pick every body part of the child. You get to pick that. Like you have like this mouse and the computer. You pick every aver and you pick the neshama of the child. Can you imagine such a thing? Right? Now imagine, right? Right after that, somebody just sort of like, you know, trying to say mazel tov is like, hey, you know, there's a mistake, a typo on page 36. Like, of course that needs to be corrected, but buddy, do you realize you're talking about my baby? Like, there's a birth defect on that thing. The limud schus, people don't know, and you need to know. And in the second printing right now, I have five minor mistakes that I'm correcting because people showed me. But the question is, do people understand what's happening over here? People don't understand. There's a Rav who said that he put out a sefer, and I have so enjoyed this. It was written in his book. He put out a sefer and he was so excited how much time he worked on it. He saw a Talmud Chacham pick it up, flip through, and he goes, Schwartz, you're better than this. This is what you put out. He said he thought he was going to die on the spot. Every sentence, 20, sometimes 20 cheshbonos in every sentence, 40 cheshbonos. Then he went to Rav Bulman, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Or Sameach. Rav Bulman looks at the sefer. He's like, wow, I need to pay $1 million for that. I can't afford it. Gave him 1,000 shekel for the sefer. 1,000 shekel for the sefer. And he restored the man. And I'm not talking about the quality of the sefer. I don't know. Maybe it was amazing, maybe it wasn't. It doesn't matter. To understand what's happening by someone else. I learned so much from the feedback from a sefer. It's just pashut incredible. I'll tell you a story. This is unbelievable. I get a call from a chashuv talmid chacham in this area who read the sefer, and he gives me detailed feedback. He goes, I wasn't going to call you. But my wife told me a story. What's the story she told him? Right? A very chashuv talmid chacham. He wasn't going to call me. I'm happy he did, but he wasn't going to. What's the story? The Halakha Leshem. The Leshem was from the last of the great Mekubalim. He sent a Sefer Leshem to Baghdad, to the great Ben Ish Chai, the Sephardi Gadol. Okay? Somebody went to Baghdad, and the Leshem was going on and on about the Ben Ish Chai was going on and on about the Leshem Sefer. He goes, go to Eretz Yisrael and tell the Leshem what he did for Klal Yisrael with this great light. Right? So fine. So this man comes, and he was settled in Tamari, I don't know, somewhere not in Yerushalayim, and came a year later, and he got to Yerushalayim, he came to Leshem, he says, you should know, I was in Baghdad, by the Ben Ish Chai, you have your sefer, Or Gadol has reached the world, you know. And the Leshem gave a crack, like, ugh. He says, how long have you had this information? He says, oh, about a year. A year? Do you know that I had the volume 2 ready to go for at least a year, but I had no cheshech to print it because I didn't think anybody cared. If I would have known that the Ben Ish Chai cared about this, now, what's pshat, my friends? It's unbelievable. It's just being there, being present, being connected, being ma'urivim abrius, seeing things, right? Paying shiva calls. I read an article of someone who sat shiva on his wife, and he told everyone what to do and what not to do at a shiva call. Because, like, wow, this is worth a lot of money. Baruch Hashem, lo aleinu. I've never had that situation. Chaste Hashem. So here was an opportunity to be Me'urivim Abrius. And he said such pearls of wisdom there. You know what he said? First, if you have a doubt whether to go to a shiva call or not, go! It's like, how close am I? Camp, yeah, but we had a hefsek in our camp. I went one year to a different camp, and then I came back, but yeah, it was a hefsek. Like all these chakiras. He says, you know what happens when someone's sitting shiva? He says, if somebody was supposed to come and they didn't come, people never forget it. And I've spoken to Avelim, who it's so painful. They harbor feelings. And he goes, if somebody came who really wasn't supposed to come, who wasn't that close, they're honored that somebody who's not close to them showed up. You know how much money that's worth for me, that observation? That's worth so much, to see the world from someone else's perspective. Safek shiva kol l'chumra. And I've seen we all do this. We start playing games with the chasana. Like, of course there's halachas in this of when you're supposed to be in Mevatel Torah or not. But we're so rachak from people, my friends. We make such ridiculous decisions. And I want to end with one final high level idea. One final high level idea. And that is that aside from cleaning up for ourselves and being sensitive to others, the highest level, my friends, is cleaning up other people's messes. Whoa. Yes. In my house, when the toys are all over the place, I ask someone to clean up, right? Kids, not a problem. Every kid's like, I didn't do it, right? I did that toy, but not this toy, right? Agan Salom does, like, you want to know who's a future Reb Kiva Eger over here? It's like, I did that, so I'll do a chetzi of that, a chetzi of that, right? That's children, and they're always supposed to be children. That's the chatchila for children. But no, some people never grow up from that matzav, from cleaning. We had a Mesil Sisharim Vad last, it was maybe 2 years ago. We made a Kabbalah that when you find a bathroom that's dirty, to try to be the ones to make it that no one will get sick from coming in. It's humbling, but it makes a person feel like he's part of a tzibor. Not just that I shouldn't be a J-E-R-K, but I shouldn't allow somebody else to be that way. And it makes you bigger, my friends. But you can't do this if you're going to be angry at people. There are certain people who do this, and like while they're cleaning up the bus, like, these good-for-nothing guys, they don't have any derech eretz, and I'm ready for marriage, and I'm ready to be a gadol, and I'm cleaning up everything. Doesn't work like that. You have to be able to do this because you feel like you're part of the group. This is what, by the way, they hire me for this. I listen to people's the garbage people create, and I try to clean it up. That's what I do for a living. Imagine I was like, hey, you did that. I'm not talking about that. Just sit in it. Right? It's not nice. Right? And how rewarding it is to feel like you can schlep somebody out of their mess and take away a mess for somebody. And to be melamed zchus on everyone, to just want the best for them. I heard from Reb Morty Goldberg, who's actually a fantastic derech eretz. He told me such a beautiful limud zchus on people. Listen to this. He's somebody who has tremendous derech eretz and does clean up for people. But listen to the shtickel Torah that he said. He said, and it's so incredible, and I can relate to this, unfortunately. He said, it's not the pshat that people don't have derech eretz. Sometimes people in the kitchen, they don't clean this, they clean it half or this. He says, some people were born with maids, and they're pasha not used to the mice. The level of consideration they have is to just put something in a sink. So for them, they actually had derech eretz. They're just not aware that, you know, for the oisphere of how it goes. And some people, it's to this level. Like, that's what it's about, my friends. Cleaning up for others and not looking down at others. This is what Klal Yisrael is. The Adam, the mensch. And let's rise to this occasion in every area of life to look towards others, to be concerned for others, to lift others, to clean up for others, to be part of everyone's lives, and to be Yisrael, Asher B'cha Esparah.